సహ నవతు సహ నో భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినామధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి 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 హరి. Today we are starting a bit early because I also have to return. Tomorrow my flight is at almost 4:20. We have to start from here. So after finishing this, we can have immediate things ready. Very good. So we are discussing the Maitreyi Brahmana, the teaching of Yajnavalkya to Maitreyi as to the nature of the self. Yesterday we discussed two important things. One is that just as one cannot distinguish the special sounds of any musical instrument apart from the general sound of that instrument, so without this self, the whole world cannot stand anywhere. Is that point clear? If we do not know what the sound of a veena is like, then whatever notes may be played on the sounds on the veena instrument, then we can never recognize as what those sounds are. The idea is, apart from pure consciousness, or to put it in a simpler way, apart from our awareness, nothing exists. It's a marvelous idea that you see somebody, you say it is, he is good. So his goodness depends upon whom? Upon our consciousness. This person is bad, this event is evil. Then upon whom does that depend? Upon our consciousness. Which means that if our consciousness can only be trained to recognize in everything good, then everything is only good for us. To make this point clear, I will give you an illustration. Supposing one person is having a dream, and in the dream he is only dreaming all good things. Another person is dreaming all bad things, nightmares. Whose fault is that? Yeah. So what causes these two types of dreams? It is the thoughts. So the idea is the thoughts can be trained so that the consciousness can illumine them in that particular light. So that is the first idea, that spiritual practice means to make our awareness, to purify our awareness in such a way that we only see what is the best. The second point is that the whole creation is coming from God. So they give illustration, just as a person breathes in and out, that from that breath came Rigveda, Yajurveda. Rigveda, Yajurveda, forget about it. What is it? Knowledge. And that knowledge is coming from whom? From this ourselves. In this instance, see, when my knowledge is good, everything is good. Or when I interpret anything as good, then for me it is good. When I interpret anything bad, that is bad for me. The whole universe is coming from God. And it is in a cyclical manner. So what comes in, what comes out, also goes in. What goes in, also comes out. What comes out also goes in. What goes in also. That is why, according to Vedanta, creation is eternal. It is eternal because God never stops breathing. Not that he has nostrils and he breathes. The idea is to tell that cause and effect cannot be different. You see, this universe is the cause. And the effect. What is the cause? It is, God is the cause. If this universe has come out from God, if this universe be the effect, then what is the cause? God. If God is the cause, what can be the world? What else can be the world?
God.
Can only be God. This is the central point Vedanta wants to tell us. Everything is Brahman. Everything is God. But the question comes immediately. Why don't we see it as good? We see it as sometimes as good, sometimes as evil. Interpret it as happiness, unhappiness. That depends upon the training of our mind. There is nothing called good or evil. It may be hard to believe it, that is the truth. So a saint, just to give an example, a saint, how does he look at this world? Can there be anything called evil in the eyes of a saint? If there is something evil in his eyes, then what would be his reaction? You see, the point we have to understand is that when we see something as good, we cannot stop being attracted towards it. When something we see as evil, we cannot stop hating it, reacting to it in a negative manner. But if that is our nature, but if a saint also exactly reacts in the way, then how is he a saint? He is not a saint. The truth is that everything is, there is God's Leela. In Leela, two points we noted. What is the point? Leela is only when there are two opposing things. No film has ever reached box office if there is no tragedy, there is no fighting and all that. You know, two young people met each other, married each other, ever afterwards happily lived. How many of you go to see the film? There must be a lot of boxing, the villain must come and try to kidnap, and then this fellow is crying, is heart out. Sometimes, not always, sometimes. And then there is a fight between the villain wins afterwards, in the end, only in the end, because if the hero wins in the beginning, the film is over. So then box office hit. The same story is fed every cinema, it is the same story. And many times the same actors and actresses. Only they change Nama, Rupa, we change that. Nothing else. But we go and pay, no? We also pay the same amount of money. But let us not be under any illusion that we have any right to call this world as Leela. Not yet. For us, if we do good, the result is good. If we do evil, the result also is evil. Not from the ultimate point of view, from a relative point of view. So why is he telling? This teacher is an illumined soul. He knows everything is, the whole universe is nothing but
Leela.
It is nothing but Brahma. But we do not know that fact. So when the Upanishads are giving these kind of statements, it is assumed that the student had already acquired that required qualifications to understand. Then after understanding, hearing, he will think deeply. After thinking deeply, then he will understand the real truth. Once the understanding is right, he becomes in his own turn a teacher, so that the Guru Shishya Parampara, Guru Parampara system, GPS. Continuous. Now we proceed to the next paragraph, which is the most beautiful again. And what he wants to say is that just as that everything that comes out again goes back into itself. We see from the seed comes a tree. A seedling, then it becomes a plant, then it gives flowers, then it gives fruits, and then what happens to it? It becomes seedy. It becomes seedy. SEEDY.
Oh, seedy.
It produces seeds. Again, the cycle starts. So this is how, this is called involution. The universe coming down from God is called involution. And the universe going back to God is called evolution. So if there were to be no involution, there can be no evolution. Biologists, biological evolution, they also accept evolution, but they do not know why. Why at all there be an evolution? What is it that prompts the evolution? Only Vedanta has the answer. There is a teleological urge within every creature, the lowest creature, to unfold itself. This is what Swami Vivekananda calls, each soul is potentially divine. So the goal is to manifest this divinity within by controlling nature, external and internal. What is the meaning of controlling? Controlling is not like a dictator trying to control, suppress, use his power. Here controlling means, just as when you travel on a motorway, what do you do in a car? You control the car so that your journey becomes pleasant and your destination is reached sooner. If you don't control, so what is the external control? External control means, first of all, you clean the car, then you fill it with petrol, you service the engine, that is called external control. Then you clean, the driver has to clean himself, and if there are any traces of wine or anything, he should wash off with, you know, some cologne or something like that, whatever. It means he should be a fit person to be able to drive the car. External and internal, both are necessary. Then the journey becomes pleasant and the destination is reached. So this is how Kathupanishad puts it in a beautiful imagery form. Okay, so now the central point he wants to make is, he gives certain examples he gives, and a graduated examples he gives, so that the idea is understood. This whole universe is traveling. That traveling is called evolution. It is not traveling, can be two ways. Going down is also traveling, going up also is traveling. But here the journey is always upward. We can't help it. Temporarily we might be stopped, but in the final run we cannot be stopped. Why? Because there is something within us which makes us do things. That is called divinity. It wants to unfold. There is something within the seed, and the seed wants to become manifest. There is no other way. So I will read out the translation, because it's a big passage. As the sea is the one merging place of all sorts of water, you know, this rain falls on hills, then they become streamlets, then becomes rivers. And ultimately, where do they go? They go back to the ocean. Why do they go back to the ocean? Because that is from where the rain has come. Okay. Then, just as the skin is the one merging place of all kinds of touch. You know, we have a sense organ called touch. Whatever we, cold, heat, soft, hard, pleasant, unpleasant. But what is the one source? Skin. Why? Because you remove the skin. Can you feel anything? The idea is, without the skin, these experience of the touches have no value at all. So he gives these examples. As the nostrils are the one merging place of all odors, as the tongue is the one merging place of all savors, tastes, as the eye is the one merging place of all colors. You know, what is the special sense information of the eye? Can you tell me? We usually use the word forms. You know, Through eye, what do you see?
Forms.
Forms. But actually, the eye is necessary only to see the colors.
Yeah.
Not necessary. You know, you can even, a blind man can touch a table and know what shape it is.
Mm.
But it can never find out what color it is.
Yeah.
So, Sri gives the example. The eye is the central essence of all colors. The ear is the one merging place of all sounds, good sound, bad sound, sweet sound, sour sound, all those things. So, the mind is the one merging place of all deliberations, as the intellect is the one merging place of all kinds of knowledge, as the hands are the one merging place of all actions, as the organ of generation is the one merging place of all pleasures, as the anus is the one merging place of all excretions, as the feet are the one merging place of all kinds of walking, as the organ of speech is the one merging place of all Vedas. What is he trying to tell us? Gradually, that what is the essence? What is the essence of the essence? What is the essence of the essence of the essence? Let me explain it. We have sense organs. Five sense organs, five organs of action. This we know. But these are only instruments. Your eye see. Does your eye see? Does it know what is called seeing? It only conveys certain electronic information. Where does this? So also the ears, sounds, the nose, the smells, all the senses, the hands grasp something. Do the hands know that they are grasping something? Do the legs know that they are moving here and there? So they do not know anything. But there is someone without whom they will never know. What is that?
Mind.
It is the mind. The mind is the harmonizer of all these things. So we think. No. That is only in the hierarchy of the servants, that is the one high up than the sense organs. What does the mind do? The mind collects all this information and presents it to the
buddhi,
intellect. But don't think the intellect is the in charge. The intellect is another servant, a little higher up in the executive hierarchy. The intellect is guided by something else. What is it? That is, now there is called Ananda. Ananda. The intellect is, the intellect's decisions depend upon what?
Happiness.
So if the intellect knows if that this is not going to produce happiness, will it take the decision?
Yes.
It takes decision because it is a slave to Ananda. And it hates Nirananda, Dukkha. Therefore, any experience is resolved into two final results, final judgments. What are they? Sukha and Dukkha. So, why did you come to this class? Because you wanted to learn something. So, why don't you do some exercise? Because it's not very pleasant. So, this is very nice. A legal excuse is there. The satsanga is not available. Yeah, I encountered these problems, you know. The devotees, regularly they come, suddenly nobody is there on Sunday or my talk. Very few people. So I asked, after that, to next week they will have, last week what happened? In Swamiji we were very busy. It wasn't a very convincing answer. What are you busy with? So we were watching cricket match. Cricket match. Is cricket match so very important than my talk? I said, Swamiji, I will be frank with you. See, you are always there. And you talk the same thing. But this cricket match is something which comes once in a while. You know, God is everywhere. God is available all the time. That's why there is no demand. But this, you know, nice pakoda is not available all the time. So what happens? We are doing only all our actions from birth to death are only decisions made on these two criteria. What is it? How can I be happy? How can I avoid unhappiness? Think of it. It's absolute truth. That's why I joke, you know. Why do people get married?
To be happy.
And why do they get divorced afterwards?
To be more happy. They have learned well more.
Don't blame me afterwards. I am only telling the truth. You use the truth as you like. So, the question comes that why do I want to be happy? So, you know, in every human life, certain values are practiced. You know, you heard the word values?
Yeah.
So, certain values, we are all creatures of values. Whichever takes us to the final value, which is called intrinsic value, every other value is instrumental value. Values of are two types. What did I say first? We are all creatures of values. You may not know that you are creatures of values. We are all creatures of values. We are all philosophers, whether we know it or not. We have some philosophy. Some believe in God, some don't believe in God. Some believe in doing good, some don't believe. We have all an outlook on life, and our philosophy depends upon our outlook, and our outlook depends upon our understanding, and our understanding depends upon our experience, understanding, outlook, philosophy, period. Is it right? Did you understand it properly? Okay, let me give you an example. Suppose you meet somebody. It's a bad experience. You meet somebody else, that is also bad experience. You meet something else, that is also bad experience. Majority bad experience. Then what is the understanding you gain? This world is not a very friendly place. That is your understanding. What would be your outlook from now onwards? The world is bad. And what would be your philosophy? I would have nothing to do with this world. I will try to fend for myself, whatever I could do. Is it not right?
Yes.
That is how it works. So, what was I talking about? Values. There are two types of values. There is one value which is the supreme value, that is called intrinsic value. Every other value is called instrumental value. So how do we distinguish between these two? An instrumental value, first of all, is only a value as an instrument. That means an instrument doesn't do anything for its own sake. It does it for somebody else. For example, that you have a car. A car is an instrumental value. Instead of walking 10 miles every day, you can drive in the car. It's the pleasant thing to do, right? So, if you ask, why are you studying so that I can pass my exams well? So, studying is an instrumental value. Why do you want to pass the exams? So that I can get a good job. So, passing the exams is an instrumental value. Why do you want a good job? So that I can buy a car. That is an instrumental value. Why do you want to buy a car? So, I can travel easily from this place to the other place. That's why car is an instrumental value. Why do you want to go to that place? Because there is a nice sweet available there. So that is the answer. Why do you want a nice sweet? I want to be happy. So that sweet is an instrumental value. So then you can't question, why do you want to be happy? What is the answer? Because happiness is not an instrumental value, it is an intrinsic value. So, you know, according to Hinduism, there are four values. What are they?
Dharma,
Artha, Kama. They are called instrumental values. instrumental values. Why are they called instrumental values? Why do you want to have dharma? So that I can have artha. Why do you want to have artha? Do you know what is artha? Artha means that the means for something else. Money, car, build a house, etc. So why do you want artha? So that you can enjoy life, you can buy certain things and enjoy them. So why do you want to enjoy? So that you can be happy. But you can't say why, ask any question, why you want to be happy? Because it is not an instrumental value, it is the final value. So what am I reading is that dharma, artha, kama are called instrumental values. Why? Because they, with dharma, with artha and kama, the final result is happiness. But because these happiness which we get through dharma, artha and kama is limited in scope, and therefore even though it is happiness, it is limited happiness. What do we want?
Infinite.
We want unlimited happiness. And that unlimited, another name for that unlimited happiness is
moksha.
That is why that is the intrinsic value. So coming back to our earlier equation, hierarchy, the intellect decides to do anything, and its decision is based only on two criteria. How can I be happy? How can I avoid unhappiness? So it is an instrument. Then the question comes, why do we want to be happy? So that question cannot really be answered, but it is answered. What is the answer? Because we are of the nature of
happiness.
This is the most marvelous answer which you will have to understand in a proper light. So let me give you an example. If you have an apple seed and you put it in the soil and it grows well, what does it give?
Apple
seed. Why can't it give any other fruit? Because that is not its nature. If it is a mango seed, then it will give mangoes. So if we are really divine, what is the nature of the divinity? Happiness, bliss, ananda. Therefore, our whole life, you know what is it? It is a struggle for attaining progressively higher and higher. More, higher and more, higher and more type of happiness, until there is no limit or obstruction. That means we don't want merely happiness, we want to be happiness itself. That is what Vedanta is teaching us, and that is what our experience also corroborates. How does it corroborate? So we say, you know, instead of using the word self or atman, we use the word Brahma, God. What is the name of God in Sanskrit?
Satchidananda.
There are three words. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Sat means what?
Existence.
Chit means what?
Knowledge.
Ananda means
bliss.
Right? So these are the three. That is our nature. We are God. We are divine means we are God. We are God means we are Satchidananda. If we are Satchidananda, what is our nature? Existence, knowledge, bliss. So we never struggle against survival. We always struggle against, if anything seems to be threatening our survival, then we struggle. Is it not right? Why do you breathe? For survival. And if you don't get breath, you know how much you struggle?
Yes.
So, and then we don't want to be sleeping. You know, a man is breathing, but he is sleeping. Sleeping man doesn't know that he is alive. Does that help him? No. Why does man sleep? Because sleep is not an intrinsic value. To be aware is an intrinsic value. You sleep because you want to be fresh, changa. You want to be away. You want to know that you are alive. You want to know how you can be happy. In sleep, you will not know these things. That is why sleep is only an instrument so that the body, mind, you see, it is tired. So what does sleep do? It removes the tiredness. It makes us fresh. That is why we sleep. Not because we really enjoy sleep. We do enjoy sleep. You know, why do we enjoy sleep? If a person is not getting any happiness in the outside world, and the only way he can forget this unhappiness is sleep. Sleep means he doesn't want to know the unhappiness of the world. This he can do in several ways. He can sleep, he can take drinks, he can take drugs, or he can do something which diverts his mind from, you know, keeping. So even karma, activity, can also be a route of escape. These are called workaholics. And many of us, I am afraid, are becoming workaholics. I am not saying this. Eric Fromm had said that. Workaholics. How do we know? Well, if you cannot keep quiet with you. Okay, if you don't understand my statement, let me give you a lesson. Supposing you know a person, he invites you and he is such a bore. If he is a bore, how long will you stay in his company?
Short time.
Too long.
As short, once you come to know he is the most boring fellow in the world, immediately, as soon as possible, you want to escape, isn't it? Suppose there is another man in whose company time just passes. One good measurement of who is boring, who is not boring, whose speech is boring and whose speech is not boring. When a person goes on looking at the time, you know, when there was this priest going on and on and on, rambling. He was not stopping at all. So after a long time he came to his senses. He said, "I am so sorry. I forgot my watch." They said, "That is no problem. You have a calendar in front of you." So, these two illustrations, a person is very entertaining means you are very happy. Happiness means time, space, causation, everything is forgotten for the time being. This is the surest sign of happiness. If you are intensely aware of time, space and causation, we have, oh, so much, only 1 minute passed. 1 minute passed. Like that, you know, time seems to be eternal. Why am I in this place? This is not a good place. Then you are bored. Then you find out what are the causes and all those things. But when happiness comes, Friday to Friday, Friday to Friday, Friday to Friday. See, how much I am helping you, don't you understand? Friday to Friday, Friday to Friday. You know, otherwise you get bored. Yeah. So, what am I talking about? Boredom. So, the inability, we don't want to be alone with ourselves. What is the reason?
We are boring to ourselves
to such an extent, we would do anything to escape. This is a fact. We become restless. We turn on the TV and hear some little music, try to, you know, kill time. If nothing else is available, this is what we do. So what I am telling is that happiness is our nature. And we, even though we are alive, we merely don't want to be alive. We want to be, to know, to be aware that we are happy people. There are only two conditions. Either we are happy or we are unhappy. And we don't want to be unhappy. Therefore, we always seek means how to be happy. So, as I was mentioning, there are some people and they lost all hopes of getting any happiness. But they don't want to be unhappy. They can't get happiness, but they do not want to be unhappy. What is the way?
Sleep.
Sleep. Take to drugs, drinks, or do anything to pass their time. That is the most miserable condition in the world. So the point we are trying to discuss is, first instinct is to be alive, but next instinct would be to know, to be aware that we are not only alive, but we are also happy. So we never struggle if we are very healthy and surviving. We don't try to die. If anything happens to make causes to, it threatens our survival, say sickness. We never go to a doctor and say, I am very healthy doctor. So will you give me some medicine? We never say that, we never do that. Only when we are sick, that threatens our instinct. Instinct means what? Our nature. We don't want to be deviated from our nature. That is the first. The second thing is, we don't want to be unconscious. We want to be conscious. What for we want to be conscious? We want to have bliss. Sat, chitta. If we are happy, do we struggle to be unhappy? Do we struggle to somehow make ourselves unhappy? No. But if we are unhappy, what do we do? Would you keep quiet?
No.
You will have to struggle, because that very thing is against our nature, essential nature. So Sat, Chit, Ananda. That is our nature. So now you understand that our nature is divine, means which is blissful. And this is this criteria, we want to be happy. And if this happiness dictates to the intellect, take such decisions. Whether the person may make mistake because of ignorance, that is different. But his intention is never to be unhappy. So he wants to be, he tells intellect, find out how I can be happy. And the intellect says, come on, bring information in which way I can be happy. And the mind gets information. It tells to the sense organs, find out where are the good restaurants, where are the good cinema houses, where is an example. Then the sense organs go here and there, search. So this is the information. And that information is conveyed to the mind. And the mind collates this information, classifies it, and then it takes it to the intellect. And then the intellect, because it has already got command from the emperor, it says, make me happy, otherwise I will chop off your head. So the intellect knows now what is its duty. Then it says, getting this information, it decides. So the decision of the intellect is made on what basis? That which helps it to be surviving, that which helps it to be more knowledgeable, that which helps it to be more happy. Based on this criteria, it selects it whatever it thinks is the best thing under the circumstance, it gives the decision, right? This is what Yajnavalkya is trying to tell us. You may think you have sense organs, you have mind, you have intellect, you have everything. But just as all the waters, instinctively, where do they travel? Towards the ocean. But the essence of all waters is the ocean. So the essence of the ice, what is it? All the colors?
Ice.
It is the ice. The essence of all the sounds, what is it?
Yes.
So on. So all the 10 sense organs that we have, the essence of all the 10, the actions these sense organs do, the essence of all those 10 actions is the 10 sense organs. But the sense organs, as I said, are only instruments. They are dumb. They don't know what it is. So what the essence of all these 10 instruments is what? After hearing the whole Ramayana, with the mind. Because without the mind, no instrument knows. Does the eye know if the mind is somewhere else? Does the mind see anything? Does the eye see anything? Does the hear? Yet it hears. But it doesn't know what it is hearing. If your mind is distracted, Do you see anything? Do you hear anything? So, this mind is the essence of all 10 organs. 5 organs of knowledge, 5 organs of action. But mind also is dumb. It is not endowed with intellect. Its main function is not decision. Its function is only collecting the information, collating it, classifying it, and in a nice way present it to the buddhi. So, what is the essence of the mind? Essence here means without which, suppose the buddhi is not decided, then can the mind function? So, how do you know? You may ask. You know, there are madcaps. There was one madcap, and every day morning he will go to the backyard of a wine producing wine factory. You know, after producing wine, they have some pots, they will throw them out. This fellow will take a big stick, go on breaking the pots, and towards the sense, "Ar Pachina, I can't do any more, I am tired. How long, oh God, should I do?" Is it a what is purposeful action? Who is a pagal? Pagal means one who does an action without any purpose. He is called pagal. Madcap. So, the mind is like this madcap without being directed by any purpose. And that purpose is given to it by whom?
Intellect.
By the intellect. If the intellect doesn't function, the mind doesn't know what is survival, it doesn't know what is knowledge, it doesn't know what is happiness. This is the truth. But the intellect is itself not the final essence. It is also an instrument. So it has its own boss. So what is that? Who is that boss?
Ananda.
Ananda. And Ananda itself is only an instrument, because it has its own boss. What who is that boss?
Atman.
Because the Ananda is a part, intrinsic part. That is why we are all searching for these three things. If you want to be happy, two things are necessary. Do you know that? First of all, you should be alive. A dead man cannot say, "I am very happy." Secondly, a sleeping man doesn't know that he is either happy or unhappy. To know that he is happy, he should be completely aware. That is what is called Sat Chit Ananda. If there is Ananda, there is Chit and there is Sat. And if there is Chit, then the man who has awareness, he knows I am alive, and he also knows he is happy, or at least striving for happiness. And if he is alive, who does he know he is alive? There must be awareness. Without awareness, the person doesn't know he is alive. So Sat and Chit and Ananda are not three separate things, but always go together. This wonderful point which we are discussing is being summarized in this statement. Ultimately, what is the real meaning of this passage that we have read? The self is the very essence of all this what we call life in this world. Without that self, there is no world. What will you do? You know, there was this man, he went to a doctor. Doctor asked him, "What for did you come?" And he said, "Doctor, give me some medicine so I can live another 60 years. And the doctor said, "Do you smoke?" He said, "Not, I don't touch." "Do you drink?" He said, "No." "Do you visit nightclubs?" "Absolutely." Doctor stared at him and said, "Man, what for do you want to live?" What for do you want to live? Like a carpet. Idea is, if somebody is not trying to be happy, what is the point of living? So this whole world is there only for one purpose. You know what is that purpose?
To be happy.
to express our divinity, to be Sat, to be Chit, and to be Ananda. Without this Chidananda, the world doesn't even exist. Is it not true? That's the point we have discussed. So here specifically, what is being emphasized is these ten organs of senses, ten senses, five senses of action, five senses of knowledge. They are working for what?
Manas.
For the sake of Ananda. A hierarchy. Ultimately, they are working for the expression of the bliss of the self. So the mind is, sense organs are functioning, the mind is functioning, the intellect is functioning, the Ananda, pancha-pancha-kosha Ananda is also functioning. Only one purpose. It's a huge company. Some man has started it. Without him, this company would not be there. But the whole company is for what purpose? For this sake of that one man, how he can get profit. Everybody is an instrument for that purpose, is it not? So, the Lord alone wants to manifest Himself. But then, we said, how many selves are there?
One.
Only one, according to Advaita Vedanta, only one. But because we do not know that it is one, we see so many. But even if you admit that there are a billion, or now how many souls are there? Human beings alone, there are 6 billion or 7 billion are there. Even if you consider each one a potential divinity, what is the common thing for all these souls? They want to manifest themselves as divine. In what way? All of them want to survive. All of them want to be happy. No, knowledge, aware that they are happy. All of them want to be happy. This is the only purpose. That is what he is telling in this beautiful passage. As the sea is the one merging place of all sorts of water, pure consciousness is the one merging place of all life, whatever we are leading. And for to illustrate that, he gave so many varied instances. You read a book. What for do you want to read a book? So that you can get knowledge. What for do you want to have knowledge? So that your mind can collect the information properly. What for the mind wants to collect the information? So that it can know. To convey that information in a proper way, sense organs, they are like these postal peons. You know, here is a post box, there is a post box, there is a post box. And all these letters or whatever is collected. What do they do later on? They all go to one central place. And there what do they do? They sort out, this goes to Dallas, this goes to Houston, this goes to Swami Dayatmananda, like that. And then your email also you do like that, you know. This is for husband, this is wife, this is for child, like that. And that is all its purpose of the mind. Then based upon that information, the intellect takes decision. You do this, you do this, you do that. That's all. And the intellect takes the decision because it has been given. That is called blank check. Whatever brings me happiness, you do that. I don't care how you do it, but do it. That is what Ananda tells us. Ananda is the only guiding factor in everybody's. The whole survival is only for the sake of Ananda. This is the truth. Prasagguhyevayam labdhvanandi bhavati. Rasagguhyevayam means the soul, it gets the rasa, called Ananda, Anandi Bhavati. It's only for the sake of the expressing the Ananda of the soul, all life's activities. Is it not true? If somebody doesn't get Ananda, then do you think that person would like to live? Never. But everybody doesn't get ananda. Some people suffer. Then why do they live?
Because
they hope some point they will get. And if that hope is lost, do you know what they do? Commit suicide. Not that they want to commit suicide. That what is the point of living? If there were to be no happiness, that is the idea. The essential point is that pure consciousness is the resting place of whole life, all the activities, all the karma. Sarvam karma akhilam partha jnane parisamapyate. All karmas end only. What is the end result of any karma you do?
Knowledge.
What is the knowledge? That I am happy. This is the only thing. I am, and I know I am, and I know I am happy. This is the process. Okay, let us. So does this really happen? That's what he is trying to tell us in the next. As a lump of salt thrown into water only dissolves into the water, and none can at all pick it up, but from whichever part one takes the water, it has only a saline taste. Even so, my dear, this great, endless, infinite reality is only homogeneous intelligence. On account of these elements, the self stands out separately, and as soon as these are destroyed, its separate existence is also destroyed. After attaining isolation, it has no particular consciousness. This is what I say, my dear, so said Yajnavalkya. With this, the teaching comes to an end. It looks a little bit confusing. What is it? What does he say? He says, you go to the seashore and pick up a crystal of salt, and then you put that crystal of salt back into the sea, and after a minute or so you try to get that crystal back. Will you?
No.
So what happens to it?
It
became melted. So the point is, but where from did this crystal of salt come out?
From the sea.
From the sea. For a short time it became separated. And so it became an individual. How? You just go to the, into the ocean, search for a crystal of salt. Will you get it?
No.
Because wherever you see, it is all there. The whole sea water is nothing but salty water. You will not get. But if you want to get a crystal, what should you do? Take a drop of water and bring it out, separate it. The moment you separate it, it has a nama, it has a rupa, it has a name, it has a form. Then you say, that is the ocean, this is the crystal of salt. And then take this crystal salt and put it back. And afterwards again you will not get any. That means the individualization process is really separation from our real nature. So what is it that separates? Nama and Rupa, name and form. But when the name and form is removed, you know, here is a table made out of wood. Why do you call it a table?
It's
a Nama Rupa. You remove this Nama Rupa. No. What is the process to remove the Nama Rupa?
Break it.
Into pieces. Then what remains?
Wood
only. So, it has never been separated from the wood. The saltiness in the crystal, the saltiness in the ocean has never become separated. What is it that separates it?
Yeah.
Only Nama Rupa. That's all. Again you put it back, what are you doing? You are not making new salt. You are only removing the obstruction which is called Nama Rupa. The moment you do that, instantaneously it becomes one with its real nature. And then who is there to find out where did my crystal of salt go? What was Yajnavalkya telling him? Maitreyi, I am Yajnavalkya, you are Maitreyi, I am the teacher, you are the student. All these are differences in Nama Rupa. In fact, you are the divine pure consciousness. I am also the same divine pure consciousness. There are no two divine pure consciousness. If we remove the Nama Rupa, there is no Yajnavalkya, There is no Maitri. Who is to find out? So this is the teaching, he said. So what was the teaching? He said that the whole universe is nothing but Nama Rupa superimposed upon pure consciousness or Brahman. That's all. Many times we discuss this point. You look at the world. What do you see? Through the eyes, what does appear? Forms. Through the ears, what appears? But if you don't have eyes, what is there out? There are no forms. 1/5 of the world is destroyed when a person becomes blind. When a person becomes deaf, 2/5 of the world is gone. When he loses his capacity to smell anything, 2/3 of the world is gone. When the tongue, the capacity to taste is removed, 4/5 of the world is gone. When the capacity for experiencing touches is gone, the whole world is gone. No, we don't agree with you, Swami. Why? Because the mind, no. The mind cannot function because all this information in the first place came from where? From the sense organs. So if the sense organs are not there, after some time, you will not know what is, you will not know anything called world.
Is this the state in coma,
Maharaj?
No, it is not the state in coma. It is only temporary abeyance, disappearance. If you close your eyes, so how long the Namarupa disappear? So it is not, it is a state where the mind is in a potential state but doesn't have the opportunity. In darkness we are all Brahmagnanis. It's not true. Coma, deep unconscious. That is why somebody asked Swami Vivekananda. So what is the difference between a man who goes into samadhi and comes out, a man who goes into deep sleep and comes out of it? You know, one man wanted to tease Swami Vivekananda. They were sitting on the opposite sides of the table. So that man asked, Swamiji, what is the difference between a monk and a monkey? He, Swamiji, immediately said, they're not much, only one table. So, you see, a man who goes into deep sleep, his mind is still filled with ignorance, and for some time it is taking rest, he is also taking rest. When he again comes back, he is the same fool. If a fool goes into deep sleep and when he comes out, he is the same fool. But if a fool goes into samadhi, when he comes out, he becomes an illumined soul. Of course, no fool will ever go into samadhi. So, don't hope. Yes, the thing is, we have to be ready for that. Anyway, the thing is that coma, unconsciousness, these are temporary abeyance of the instruments. You know, you are traveling in your car, the car breaks down. So, what do? You're standing there. How long?
Until
the car is picked up and then you start the traveling. So, this mind is the instrument. Temporarily, it is out of order. Or what we say, potentially, it is not functioning for some time. But after some time again, it starts functioning, then back to the same problem. Problem is not solved. So, but when a person practices spiritual disciplines, gradually he transcends the identity with body and mind. This, the whole universe is on a journey to go back to its source, which is pure consciousness. It is inevitable. Nobody can stop it. It's a matter of time. This is what all our scriptures are telling. That is why each soul is, it has to manifest its divinity. No choice. Only thing is we can delay it for some time. That's all. So through this statement, this Kaknivalka is telling, we are all like that crystallized
salt.
Then what happens? That at some point, all the salt crystals will be put back into the ocean. Then what happens? The individualized identity is destroyed. This is what he is telling, that as soon as these are destroyed, destroyed means that which separates us from our real source, means the body and mind, its separate existence, means the individual source, the soul thinking, I am an individual, that feeling also destroyed. After attaining isolation, means after removing itself, isolating itself from the barriers. Now we are in connection with the, we are in the company of these barriers. After isolating ourselves from these barriers, then it has no particularized consciousness. Means individual, I am so and so, I am, you know, in the ocean of Satchidananda Sagara, I am Nitya, there is no Nitya. Nitya is gone. This is what I say, my dear. So said Kaknivalka. So what is he telling really? Oh Maitreyi, you are also divine. You have come from God. So you are going back to God. And this is the only destiny you have, like myself. This is where I am trying to go. This is what I know. This is what also I am teaching you. We have all come from God. We are living in God. We go back to God. We are divinity, pure consciousness, and we have temporarily restricted our consciousness only to this body and mind. Later on you remove the barriers and realize your true infinite dimensions. Go back. This is what I say, my dear. So said Kaknivalka. Now Maitreyi became a bit confused. So she is telling. Maitreyi said, just here, Venerable Sir, you have confused me, saying that after attaining isolation, the self has no consciousness. Kaknivalka replied, of course, I am not saying anything confusing, my dear. This great reality is certainly competent to know. What he is telling is, I have spoken enough. Now you pay attention, think deeply what I said, then there will be no confusion in your mind. So what was the doubt? What is the doubt? The doubt is, now I know I am so and so. But after I merge in the divine consciousness, now I will not know. So do I become unconscious? This is what you know. This is practical thing. This is Shivanath Shastri once was talking about Sri Ramakrishna. Now he has become mad by thinking too much about God. One day he came to see Ram. Then you know what he said? You see, Shivana, I heard you say this thing about me. What wonderful intellect you have. You are thinking of Jadapadartha. And you are very, very wise, intelligent. I who think only about consciousness, I have gone mad. By thinking about consciousness, I have been unconscious. By thinking about unconscious subjects, you are becoming conscious. What a wonderful intelligence. So, what is the problem here is, we are so attached to this individuality, we are not in any way ready to let it go. If I merge in the ocean, then how do I know who I am? Because ocean means I, you, everybody. Then how do I know? How do I bite the other fellow? No? So this, what happened? There was this priest, very honest man. He was being criticized by all his superiors for being so honest. So he was very unhappy. One day a dog bit him. So he didn't know whether it was a rabid dog or an ordinary dog. So he went to a doctor who was sitting in the reception room. And the nurse came and said, it will take 15 minutes for the doctor to see you. He is seeing other patients. So this fellow, there was some, white paper. He took out that one, started writing. After 15 minutes, the doctor came out and said, now I will see you. But he was curious, what are you writing? He said, you know, doctor, in case I turn out to be rabid, I want to bite these fellows. Noting down the names of the fellows. So, this is a great fear. No, now I know, these are my friends. But I don't know, these are my enemies. My friends, fine. But enemies, I can't tolerate. But then, I have to be with all my enemies. There, when you lose individuality, there will be no friends, there will be no enemies, there is no Hindus, Christians or Buddhists, there will be rich or poor, there will be absolutely no difference at all. That is one point. Another point is, then do I become unconscious? Now I have consciousness. Do I become unconscious in that state? Because if I lose my individuality, that means I am goner. Yajnavalkya says, no, I have spoken to you enough. What you will become? A drop of water. Somebody offered it. Very soon you are going to dry up. I will take you to the ocean and put it. You started shivering. What becomes of me? What does a drop of water become when
ocean.
Until now it is saying, I am a small drop. After that, what does he say? What does it say? I am the ocean. It doesn't lose its life. It gains everything. But we are afraid because there is so much clinging. You know, there is a fellow who used to come, he died now. Very sincere fellow. English people, most of the English people are considered mad. Mad Englishmen, they call it. He was studying Advaita. He came to me. And many times we had discussions. And you see, once he asked, Swamiji, so I understand when I go there and I get rid of all bonds, I become merged in the Sachidananda Sagara. Who do you recognize my wife? Very serious problem. He said, I can't live without my wife. I can live without, you know, you. But I can't live without my wife. So who do I recognize? I said, I'm sorry. Neither you will recognize her, nor she will recognize you. So, Advaita is not for you. Better go back to, you know, Madhvacharyas. There you and your wife will be confined in one jail. Anyway, so the teaching is concluding in a different way, that when there is duality as it were, then one smells another, one sees another, one hears another, one speaks of another, one thinks of another, one knows another. When, however, all has become the one self of the, as the knower of Brahma, then what should one smell and through what? What should one see and through what? What should one hear and through what? What should one speak of and through what? What should one think of and through what? What should one know and through what? Through what should one know that because of which all this is known? Through what, my dear, should one know the knower? The idea is the knower is the one who knows. The known is called the object. Subject and object. The subject knows the object, but the object can never know the subject. This is one point. Another point is, what for do you want to know anything? To get rid of all dukkha. When you are one with happiness itself, what do you want to see? Why do you want to hear? Why do you want to smell? Why do you want to taste? Why do you want to touch? What is the purpose of all this?
Happiness.
There was one, you know, one young fellow, boy. He always used to sit in an easy chair and read comics. So his father used to, you know, always criticize, you fellow, you go to school. One day he said, Dad, sit down, let us have a talk. What happens if I go to school? So you will pass all exams. What happens if I pass exams? I will get a job. You will get a job. What happens when I get a job? Then you will accumulate lot of money. What will happen when I accumulate lot of money? Then you will have wonderful house, bank balance. What will happen then? Then you can sit in an easy chair and read comics. And the fellow said, what do you think I am doing now? What is the purpose of all these experiences? There is only one purpose. To have unending, unlimited, infinite, eternal happiness. When you have become one with that eternal, infinite happiness, why do you want eyes? Why do you want all these things? These instruments have only instrumental value. When you reach the destination, then you don't need these instruments. It's for us very difficult to understand. And the point also, we are so much clinging to this individuality, it is very hard for us even to imagine we can get rid of our individuality. That is the problem. You know, one in school, there was brother and sister, and they were teaching biblical lessons. Those who are good Christians, they will all go to heaven. After teaching, the teacher asked John, would you like to go to heaven? He looked at his sister and said, is she also going to come there? What is the concept of heaven?
Happiness.
So if he thinks if his sister also goes there, what would be the heaven there? You know, these are all our puny, you know, wrong, ignorant ideas about individuality. We don't know how much bliss is there in infinity. That is why we are called miserable creatures. No wonder. So, we have come from God. The whole universe has come out of God. It lives in God. It goes back to God. This is its destination. Nobody can change it. The whole life is meant only gradually to evolve the instruments, so that through these instruments, we can reach our final value, which is called moksha or liberation, which means to know I am the divine. This is the teaching. This has been the teaching that since thousands of years that the rishis have been passing from the teachers through the students, through their students, uninterrupted, especially in every great incarnation of God. They have come to remind us of that, but we forget it, we distort it, and we interpret in all sorts of ways, but the compassionate Lord comes again and again. This was the teaching of Yajnavalkya to Maitreyi. This was the teaching of the whole of Vedantic tradition. This is the teaching Sri Ramakrishna had given to us through Swami Vivekananda. The goal is to manifest the divinity within. And then he said, I will not rest until I make every creature realize, every being realize that it is one with God. That is my mission in life, he said. So, this is the wonderful message. We need to read about it, think about it, and then understand, and then slowly make progress, and one day we will reach the goal. There is no doubt about it. We had this wonderful opportunity to discuss this. So thank you all for having me here. And without you, you know, I would have been happier. But I am happy also with you also. So it's a wonderful opportunity. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karvavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Ramakrishna Pranamastu. Yes.
So this knowledge that we get from the scriptures is the knowledge only when it is realized.
it is useful even in our day-to-day life. How? You know, a little bit. So, I am divine. You are also divine. Even if you remember for 5 minutes, then you see it makes a difference in our reaction. So, that is how slowly, slowly we extend this time until this uninterrupted awareness is there. It is not that only after reaching there we start reacting. On the way also, our behavior becomes a better behavior and we also progressively become more happy. That is the truth. The moment, even if you think of this idea for 5 minutes, for five minutes you are a better person. Extend this period more and more.
Bharat, my goodness.